All right, as we have a moment of silence, because that's the last time we're going to hear that in Turner Field, right? Because they've opened up a new stadium, right? Oh, no, in all seriousness, today we're starting a new series called Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and we're going to have a lot of fun, as you've seen, the song Take Me Out to the Ball Game is a song that debuted in 1908. Isn't that crazy? And we've been singing it during the seventh inning stretch of in stadiums all over the country ever since. And the thing I love about this series is you may be wondering, like, what does this have to do? Why do we have a big wall? Which, by the way, I may just, like, be tempted to make the catch, you know, Otis Nixon. We'll talk about that probably sometime. But anyway, the reason we're doing this, we're in this series, what we're doing is we're going to be talking about lessons of faith that we gain, that we can learn from the game of baseball. And whether you're a baseball fan or not, if you're not a baseball fan, I'm sorry, you just got to endure this for a little bit. But if you are, you're going to love it. But the thing I want you to know is that this is a series that has something for everybody. Because we're using baseball as a lens in order to talk about bigger principles of faith, bigger principles about what God wants to do in our lives and how we can lean in and better follow Jesus. And so you have to know, you know, the game of baseball is pretty simple if you think about it. I mean, it's a game that little kids can play, and it's a game that really everybody, doesn't matter your shape or size, everybody can kind of play that game. But as much as it seems like a simple game, in a lot of ways, faith is very similar to that. Faith in following Jesus looks very simple on the surface, but just like the game of baseball, it's deeper and richer than the simplicity would have you believe. In fact, George Will, the great Pulitzer Prize journalist, once wrote this about the simplicity of the game of baseball. He said this. He said, "Baseball, it is said, is only a game. True, and the Grand Canyon is just a hole in Arizona." So I love that. Here's a picture of the Grand Canyon. And, you know, that big hole in Arizona, truly, as you see that, you can realize that it is much bigger than just a hole in Arizona. You know, when we look at the Grand Canyon, whether you relate to baseball or not, most of us can relate to seeing the Grand Canyon or something magnificent, the ocean, the sky, whatever. And so when we look at this big hole in Arizona, one of the things that we see is you can go to the Grand Canyon and you just see its infinite depth. Isn't that an awesome picture? It's like, just imagine just standing there and realizing, wow, God, you created all this. And as we look at the Grand Canyon and other places, we can just feel its layers of like pointing us to connect to something bigger, to something deeper, to something more meaningful than even ourselves, who we are alone. In fact, when we go to places like that, what it does is it encourages us to experience God's presence, and it reminds us of God's power in that big hole in the earth. And so what I think George Will is saying about the game of baseball, and he's equating it to the Grand Canyon, is that even though baseball seems like a really simple game on the surface, it's one of those things where we can find in its layers something much bigger, something much deeper, something more significant than who we are alone. In fact, even in the game of baseball, I want to argue in this series that it's one of those things where I think that there's elements that can connect us or remind us of God. That could connect us or remind us of God's power, his redemptive and creative power in our lives. And so for me, I started playing baseball when I was 4 years old. My very first baseball team ever was the Red Sox. And I remember when I got my jersey. I remember all that fun stuff of getting to play. I probably didn't know what I was doing the first year. You know, it's more like playing in the dirt and stuff. But I played all the way up. In fact, here's a picture of me from my high school days. I'm the one at the bottom right here. I was the shortstop on the team and was a leadoff hitter for most of my career. And it was a lot of fun. And it was a lot of fun getting to play on a bigger and bigger stage in a lot of ways. But my favorite memories, though, of playing baseball, my favorite memories of growing up really wasn't what happened here. It's what happened at Shorty Howell Park. That little league park in Duluth. Because what happened there, I remember some of my greatest memories was of just playing baseball for myself at Shorty Howell Park, or going to the park with my siblings, getting some nachos, and watching them play baseball there too. I loved that when I was a little kid. In fact, it's one of those things where, as a little kid, I love this, because when you look at the game as a little kid, when you look at the kid at the game as a child, there's this simplicity There's this raw beauty that where a kid just sees the game of baseball, they just see it with this beauty. They see that, wow, it's so fun. I get to play with my friends. And it's a game where you just get to go out and have fun and play. There's something about that. You know, as a kid, I remember the spectacle and the excitement of going to see the big Braves, you know, the Atlanta Braves at, it used to be Fulton County Stadium, and then at Turner Field. I remember going to games when I was little. And I remember watching with this wide-eyed wonder, just watching what was happening, appreciating every detail from the sights to, you know, the smells, you know, of like concession stand and whatever else of somebody that was around you, right? To even like, you know, even the sounds of the roar of the crowd and the vendors as they're going by trying to sell you popcorn or whatever. But I remember watching at the Braves games some of my heroes in the baseball game. I remember watching Dale Murphy. I remember watching Chipper Jones and Greg Maddux and watching these guys just being amazed by how they could make some plays that most people could only dream of. But for me, when I was little, like, I would watch them and I would try to see what they did, and then I would take it to the baseball field. And I felt like every time I was playing in Little League that I was being just like them. Like, every time I would make a throw to first base and the crowd would cheer, I just kind of envisioned, like, yeah, I'm a part of that too. I felt like a big leaguer. And every time, the other thing I love is getting up to bat, stepping up to the plate with two outs at the end of the game. And it's one of those things where as everybody's kind of looking at you, everything is counting on you, and you have an opportunity in that moment to be a hero with one swing of a bat. It's a great game. And it's one of those things, the thing I love most, though, about baseball is that it brings out the kid in all of us. And that's really what we're talking about today, the lesson of faith that we learn from the game of baseball, how it brings out the kid in all of us. In fact, one time Jesus was approached by some of his disciples. And you could tell that they had already had this conversation that had been going on where they were kind of, you can just imagine, they were arguing probably together back and forth about who was the greatest among them. Like, who's going to have the best seat when they get to heaven, or who's the greatest follower of Jesus, or like kids sometimes ask, hey, who's your favorite child, you know? And they're kind of wondering this about what Jesus would say. And so they pull Jesus aside to kind of settle the score and say, Jesus, you know, who's the greatest among us? So here's how it goes, Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. Here's what it says. It says this, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Now, this is an interesting thing because here the disciples were. They were trying to play in the big leagues, you know. Here they were. They were so worried about getting all the rules of the game of religion right. They were trying to see, like, hey, who's got the best score, Jesus, on the scoreboard when it comes to when you look at my life, when you look at what I've done, when it comes to following you, you've got to have a favorite. There's somebody that's got to be a winner out of all of us. And it's one of those things they wanted to see who was better. They were so worried about what was required of them, and they were so worried about how much discipline it would take. In other words, Jesus, who is it that's going to get the trophy? Like, we know you love us all, you're Jesus, but who's going to get the trophy? Who is the greatest among us all? But Jesus is saying to them that, look, faith and following me is actually more like a child's game. And what he's saying here is that, in fact, if we approach our faith thinking that it's all about performance, and instead of trusting Jesus like a child trusts, Jesus is saying, you've missed it, and you've missed me. See, what it means to follow Jesus is not trying to get all the rules of religion right and trying to be the greatest among us in the way we act and the way we do things. But what it means to follow Jesus is just like a child who, one of the things I love about kids is that they're like little tag-alongs, you know, sometimes, so, you know, so hopefully. But they mimic everything you do. And it's one of those things, we were working in the yard the other day, and I was, you know, using a shovel and stuff, and my son Peyton grabbed his little shovel, and he was digging dirt as well. It's like my little mini-me. little kids, they're like little tag-alongs. They want to do what you do. And what Jesus is saying, if you want to be great, forget about trying to be perfect in all these things. Become like a little child. Grab a shovel, bring your bat, you know, start to follow me, mimic what I do. Have this humility where you trust me like that. And so what Jesus, I want you to see this, what Jesus doesn't say is this. He doesn't say, look, isn't that cute how kids approach faith? Isn't that sweet? Like, you should just admire what they do. He doesn't say that. He says something even bigger. He raises the stakes and he says to them, unless you change, what? We've been following you for 3 years, Jesus. And he says to them, unless you change. In other words, change the way you think, change the way you trust, change the way you approach God and approach faith. Unless you change and become like a child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. It's like, this is a big deal, right? And it's one of those things where he's saying, like, look, if we come to God with no humility, like we've got it all figured out, and like we don't need him, it's almost like, you're out, right? But what it means to follow Jesus is in humility, to not think of ourselves more highly than we are, but to realize our dependency on Jesus. I mean, think about how kids approach the Lord. When kids approach the Lord, they have this raw love for God. Like, I love that. They just want to love God more. And they have this humility where they just know that they need to depend on God no matter what. And so if something happens, I love in our kids' ministry, they do such a great job of teaching kids what it means to follow Jesus. We've had so many moments where a family will be going through something and there'll be a child that says, well, mommy and daddy, I think we should just pray and ask God to help us. They're like, yeah, but we got to figure all this out. Like, isn't that so cool how kids understand that? To trust God and to depend on him no matter what. And this lesson of faith is what we really see in the game of baseball. That God wants us to become more like children in the way children watch the game. And to become more like children when it comes to God and when it comes to faith. And so today I want to give you three ways that I believe that God wants us to become more like children in our faith and when it comes to following him, to become more like kids. And all these three things are seen in the game of baseball. Here's the first one, way that we can become like a child. I think we need to be in awe of God. I think we need to be in awe of God. I love it in our kids' ministry how they were learning not too long ago about creation and how God created it all. And I remember Peyton coming out and saying, like, we were outside one day, and he said, wow, it was nighttime. He said, you know, God made all these stars. We're like, yeah, buddy, it's the stars. That's great. You know, he said, no, God made all these. And he was just in awe of what God was able to do. I was like, you know, I need to be more like that. You know, when a child watches a baseball game, everything that they see is fascinating. I love it. In fact, I always thought baseball was cool, but taking my kids to the game is like the best ever. They are so fascinated. Kids are constantly filled with this wide-eyed wonder. Like, everything in the stadium is like filled with God's abundance. Like, they love it, you know? Everything about it. And every play that happens at first base is like, wow, did you see that? Every time that there's a crack of the bat, they're like, wow, did you see how far they hit that? You know, it's awesome. It's like, yeah, that's cool. They do that every play. But they're just always in awe. And when kids aren't watching the game, they're captivated by all the surroundings, right? I have a bone to pick with one of the things, the cotton candy man. He walks down the aisle, like, at the worst time, you know, and my kids start tugging on us, and they're captivated by the cotton candy. Dad, daddy, 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 please, please, please. They love that stuff. They're captivated by the tomahawk chop, if you're a Braves fan that goes on. And if you're not, I'm sorry about the tomahawk chop, right? But it's one of those things where then they see the kids' zone. They're like, oh, we get to run the bases. You know, at least at Turner Field, that's the way it was, is that you could run from home plate to first base. And it was like, wow, we're like the big leaguers. Kids are fascinated by everything in the game. And if a player ever gets close to where they are and where they sit, they are mesmerized. They're in amazement. And so, you know, one of the things that was cool is I'm coaching baseball this year, and we actually have our last game coming up. Crazy. But my son Peyton, who's 4 years old, has been begging us to play baseball forever, since he was born, right? And he's on a team for the very first time, and not too long ago, I remember when he got his uniform. He got his jersey, and we're like, yeah, here's your jersey, here's, you know, giving it all out. But we were at lunch and we were eating, and we go around the table as a family, and we pray for our, you know, pray for our food, and other times too. But usually we let one of our kids pray during that time. And so Peyton said, "I want to pray for the meal." I was like, "All right, go for it." I was expecting the thank you Father for our food. Hey, you know, something like that. But instead, Peyton prays this really sweet prayer. He said, "Thank you, God, for my uniform." And he said, "Thank you that I'm on a real baseball team." And I was like, this is like melt your heart moment, right? He's been begging us, and like God delivered in his mind on the thing that he'd been waiting for and praying for so long. And he had his own uniform. And all he could think to do was be in awe of God and say, "God, thank you. Thank you for what you've given me." And I was like, you know what? I think that's the way God wants us to be. In fact, in the Old Testament, there's this story where, it's a real story, where in the book of Exodus, the people of God were in slavery in Egypt for about 400 years. They were trapped, and they had all the purposes and all the promises of God, but yet here they were standing stuck in this place in slavery and wondering, "God, are we ever going to get out of here?" And you can just imagine how long they longed and prayed and hoped and wondered, "God, are you even there?" But after 400 years, under Moses' leadership, what happens is God ends up freeing the people from slavery in Egypt. But he doesn't just say, "Hey, Pharaoh, why don't you let your people go? The end." No, what does he do? As the people are leaving from slavery and going to their newfound freedom, they found themselves again stuck between the charging enemy and the Red Sea. There was nowhere to go, nothing to do, and all of a sudden, God miraculously parts the waters of the Red Sea and allows all of the people of Israel to walk through the sea into their newfound freedom. And it was this like crazy miraculous thing. In fact, this is something that's connected to our faith, because it's one of those things where everybody, all people who grew up as followers of God, all the people would know, "God, you have saved us." And so when Jesus comes in the New Testament, it's like the same kind of picture. How God has opened the doorway. He's opened our ability to walk across and to connect with God. But people were so amazed by this. And so Moses wrote this song right after they get freed from slavery. He doesn't just say, "All right, guys, let's go on to the next thing." He writes this song. He sings this song. And here, I want you to check out this one verse from the song that he sings in Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. Here's what he says. He says, "Who?" Just imagine the amazement of what God had just done. He says, "Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working in wonders." I mean, he is just amazed by God. And so it's one of those things where I just look at that and I say, you know what? I think God wants us to be more like that in our lives. So let me ask you a question. When is the last time you stood or knelt in awe of God? When was the last time you were in awe of God? See, as we become an adult, as we get wiser sometimes, I think sometimes it's easy to look at the miraculous that God is doing in the world and doing in our lives and think, "Oh, no big deal." All right, it's just, you know, we get smart about things and we start to think, "Well, I controlled this, I did this." Or it's easy to mistake how God is moving in your life and blame it on just a stroke of good luck or fortune. Like, "Well, that was pretty lucky," right? And I think God wants us to look at him and the works of his hands like a child who is just mesmerized, like in the game of baseball. Like when something happens in our life, instead of passing it by and saying, "Well, I guess that was just dumb luck," right? Could it be that God was at work, working and orchestrating the pieces together to bring about the miraculous in your life? See, the thing is, when we're in awe of God, it always leads us to worship. It always leads us to love Jesus more. And so here's some application for you this week, being in awe of God like a child. I want you to think about this. This week, I want you to think about this. What is one thing, just one thing, that God is doing in your life that could have only happened by the hand of God? What is one thing in your life that God is doing that could only happen by the hand of God? And the reason I want you to think about this is it's one of those things where I don't want us to pass it by, be amazed by it, and let it propel you to give thanks and to worship God. I mean, it could be little simple things like, look, an open door opportunity happened for something that we were praying for. It could be a faith conversation that you have with somebody. It could be a child who maybe overcomes an obstacle. It could be a relationship that has been on the rocks and but all of a sudden is on its way toward mending. I don't know what it is for you, but don't let it pass by right where you are. Just like my son Peyton, who stopped right where he was, and he thanked God for his uniform and the ability to play baseball on a team. I think God wants us to have that kind of awe of God that leads us to worship. And so right where you are, thank God. Thank God for how he's moving in your life. It'll change your faith. So here's that. So that's the first thing, stay in awe of God. Here's the second thing, way that we can become like a child. I think we can have faith like a child. Have faith like a child. You know, when a child is watching a baseball game, they come with their jersey on, and they always want to bring their glove. Like, it's like, buddy, like, you're not going to get the ball. Like, there's like, you know, thousands of people out there. You're not going to catch a fly ball. But a kid watches the game like, no, every play, I might get the baseball. You know, they feel like they're in the action, right? There's this faith that they have when they watch the game of baseball. And so other thing I love about kids and their faith is that they're never afraid to step up to the plate. They're never afraid to step up to the plate when it comes to baseball. In fact, I think God wants us to have faith and to believe him that he's going to come through and to step up the plate in big ways. In other words, so often I believe we miss the miracles that God wants to do in our lives, or we miss the truth that God actually provides for us, because so many times we're only willing to take a step of faith for things that we can handle on our own power and our own strength. Like, God, I'll take a step and I'll step up to the plate when in my faith if I know that if you don't show up and if you don't come through, then I can still handle this, right? But if something seems bigger than us, it's kind of like, whoop, back to the on-deck circle, right? And so just imagine, though, what God might be ready to do if we were willing to step up to the plate in our faith and trust him in a home run kind of way to come through for things that are bigger than what we can control. Imagine what God might be waiting to do. Imagine what would happen if we started praying bigger prayers about how for God to work in our lives. How does a kid pray? Think about this. When a kid prays, you may have heard this before. When a kid prays for rain, they immediately go get an umbrella. And they're like, hey, you know, it's sunny outside. They're like, no, I prayed for rain. God's going to bring the rain. It's like, as cute as that is, and maybe naive, I love the faith that they have. They're willing to step up to the plate and ask God for big things. And so the truth is, I want to be a person of big faith too. Like, I don't want to be said when it gets to the end of my life, I was watching this video of people, like, their last words that they say before they pass away. What nobody ever says is, golly, I wish I wouldn't have trusted God quite as much, you know? One of the biggest reservations that people have is that they didn't trust God big enough. They weren't willing to step up to the plate and to take a risk and to trust God in big ways. And so I don't want to be like that. I want to be a person with this big faith that's not just overly calculated and risk averse, that I miss the movement of God in my life. And I believe that that's kind of church that God has called us here at the Fountain to be, that this church was not planted to be a play it safe, coasting on status quo church, right? Like, God has called us for something so much bigger. Because when I read this book, when I read this Bible, what I see is not a bunch of, like, amazing people. I see stories of just very normal people who trusted God in abnormal ways. And God, who's bigger than us, was able to come through. In fact, God wants to change the world through people like us. Crazy. But the thing I know is that God never changes people. God doesn't change the world through people with puny faith. He doesn't do that. He doesn't change the world through people with puny faith who don't really know how to depend on God. I love how Craig Rochelle once said this. I love this. He said, we are faith-filled, big-thinking, bet-the-farm risk-takers. Now, when you show up sometimes at church, that's not really the thing that most people think about the church. But this is who we're called to be. We have a big God. We are big faith. We are faith-filled, big-thinking, bet-the-farm, risk-takers. And he says this, we will never insult God with small thinking and safe living. I don't know about you, but I just want to raise my hand and say, sign me up. Like, help me, God, to trust you like that. Because I want to experience you working in my life. The truth is, you can't play it safe in your faith and in your life and trust God at the same time. It takes big faith. So imagine what God might be waiting to do if we trusted him in a bigger ways and if we started praying bigger prayers for him to come through. So that's what I want to encourage you to do. Number two is to have faith like a child. Here's the third thing that we get from the game of baseball, and I love this. I think God wants us to, number three, celebrate like a child. Celebrate like a child. Now, you have seen kids celebrate. You've seen them celebrate in sports. It's awesome, right? You know, the Brooklyn Dodgers had this catcher that was named Roy Campanella. And Roy Campanella, here's what he said about celebration and stuff like that. He said this. He said, you got to be a man to play baseball for a living, but you got to have a lot of little boy in you too. When you see Willie Mays and Ted Williams jumping and hopping around the bases after hitting a home run, and the kissing and the hugging that goes on at home plate, you realize they have to be little boys. I love that, because I don't know what's going through your mind right now when it comes to little kids' celebration, but I imagine it might look something like this clip. 1992, it was the National League pennant time, Braves versus Pirates. Check it out.
He hacked at the 2-0, now the 2-1. Line drive and a base hit! Just as the score, the
Sid Green coming home.
Green to the plate! And he is saved at the plate!
You see everybody celebrating. It's like these are a bunch of grown men, and they are just celebrating like they don't even care, right? So when I see a clip like that, you see the fans there, right? They look like a lot of grown men there, but there's a whole lot of little boy in them too. And I think it's one of those things where that's how God wants us to be when it comes to celebrating what he's doing in our lives. You know, I'm coaching four-year-old baseball right now, and one of the things that's so fun to see is kids love to get a hit, but they love to run the bases. And when they get a hit and they're running the bases, I'm coaching third base, and they cannot wait to get to run home. Like, they're on second base, and I'm like, go, 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 go. And I send them home, and they are just beaming, like, oh, I get to run home, I get to run home. And they run home, and everybody goes crazy. And it's one of those things where the kid is just beaming with excitement. He's jumping up and down, you know, like a little kid, which he is. But it's not just the kid who scored that gets excited. All his teammates, everybody on the team is rejoicing and celebrating with him because one of our teammates got to come home. And the thing that's really cool is the tie into our faith is when we look at the whole story of Scripture, this is really our story. The story of baseball is our story. Because the story of Scripture, we see this picture of a God who longs for all of us to come home. We have a God who reaches out to us with his love and pursues us and longs for us. And he invites us with his grace, all of his sons and daughters, to come home to him. And when we do, when we decide to become Christ followers and to follow him with our life, when we come home, it's like that picture of the prodigal son who is walking back home after he ran away from his father with his tail between the legs. But when the father sees him on the horizon, he runs out to meet his son. He throws his arms around him and he throws this wild, crazy party because his son that was lost has come home. And that's our story. And I think one of the things that God wants to do in our lives, he wants to help us in the church to become the best celebrators, right? To celebrate when people come home. To not be like, well, that's nice. Somebody just gave their life to Jesus, you know, next thing. I think we should be the greatest celebrators when it comes to faith. Because I think God wants to help us to reclaim our childlike joy. And to learn to celebrate, not with wimpy golf claps, right, when we see life changes happen, but out of complete joy to celebrate all that we have and everything that we are, that someone who was lost has come home to God. And so today, I don't know where you are when it comes to the game of baseball. It doesn't really matter. But when it comes to your faith, the thing that we can learn from the game of baseball is I love how it mirrors God's love for us. I love how it mirrors that. And the way that God wants us to be like little children who are always in awe of God, who have this faith, this big faith like a child, and who are always willing to celebrate like a child when one person comes home. And I think it's one of those things that it really brings us to our knees and leads us to the cross and it reminds us of our story. So as we think about that, I want to encourage you this week to think about how can you be more in awe of God? How can you in your life, how can you have bigger faith to trust God in bigger ways? And how can you How can you celebrate when you see life changes happen and what Jesus is doing in your life? Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for the way you love us. Thank you so much for this fun and simple reminder of just, God, the way that you're at work in our lives and the way you want to show up in big ways. And God, I just pray today that you would give us all the ability to trust you in bigger ways, to trust you like children trust. God, I thank you so much for the reminder of kids and for what they mean to us in our faith. It's an incredible reminder of what it means to follow you. That God, you just want us to not think of ourselves more highly than we are, but instead, God, to just like a child, to just be willing to trust you, to be in awe of you, and to celebrate what you're doing in our lives. God, we want to give this time to you, and as we continue worshiping you today, I don't know, there may be somebody in here today who's just maybe a little bit numb or apathetic in their faith. There may be somebody in here today who just, you know, this is maybe a great reminder to continue celebrating what you're doing. But God, I pray that you would just continue working in our lives. Help us to love you more, to love you better, and help us to follow you like children follow. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.